Kristen Ralph Finkbeiner, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Kristen, I think first what I'd like you to do is to describe what Moms Rising is, because I think it's not something that some people in our audience will be familiar with.
MomsRising.org is a relatively new online and on-the-ground organization that's working to build a more truly family-friendly nation. We've looked at what's going on with mothers in America, and 82% of women in this nation do have children by the time they're 44 years old, so it's quite a lot of people, and found that there are policies and programs which are the norm in most other countries in the world that are missing in this nation, and it is negatively impacting the women and families in our country in terms of having more women living in poverty, having fewer families with health care coverage, having families having trouble with access to child care, having families who are struggling with getting unequal wages and struggling with a lack of paid family and medical leave. All of those issues come together under Moms Rising.
Okay, well then let's start discussing more in depth for a moment healthcare issues. In the Motherhood Manifesto, which you co-wrote, the healthcare issue that's featured so prominently is the issue of healthcare coverage and children. Fill us in.
Well, as many of you know, right now, one in every eight children is without any healthcare coverage at all in our country. And this is a profound problem because actually children are the least expensive group of people in our country to cover because they tend to not get sick as much. Their lack of coverage in young ages can result in lifelong health issues if they aren't addressed early and actually significantly negatively impact both the child as they grow older as well as the price on our health care system. So what Moms Rising advocates for is health care for all kids first and then health care for everybody as well.
And to get every child in America covered, is it through the SCHIP program?
Well, certainly Moms Rising has supported an expansion of the SCHIP program to cover more children. Ultimately, there's many, many, many proposals on the table, including some of what we just saw proposed in the state of California and has passed in some states, which is actually a mandatory health insurance coverage, which allows everybody to get covered at lower rates because the insurance companies lower the rates in return. I'm oversimplifying this here, but in return for being able to have more healthy people on their rolls, so their costs should go down. That is a very big oversimplification, but I mentioned a couple of ideas because we don't think there's one true way yet that is the only way to start covering kids. We are supportive of any enhancement of covering kids right now, and we're supportive of exploring the ways that we can cover the most people with the least cost. And what's important to note on that is that the United States right now spends more per capita on health care than any other nation in the world, but has some of the worst health outcomes. We rank a low 37th in childhood mortality, according to the World Health Organization, and we certainly don't have the highest lifespans. And so we aren't getting much for the healthcare money we spend, and Moms Rising is working on making sure that we can spend less money and cover more people, because if other countries can do it, we can too.
And organizationally, do you approach these efforts to get every child covered more at the state level than at the federal level?
Organizationally, we simultaneously work at the state and federal level, which is one of the reasons why we're working on the healthcare issue from a number of angles, you know, supporting state coverage and state policies, and then also working on, for example, what you asked about extended SCHIP. At the federal level. So, yes, we have a both-and approach.
And I know that it is a new organization, and there's not a lot of history there, but in your experience so far, when you are out there trying to organize or to lobby, what do you find to be the most challenging obstacles to get to the point where you want to be at?
I think there's to be completely honest, in many of the areas that we work on, at the beginning of this interview, we talked about a little bit about what Moms Rising works on, from child care to fair pay to open flexible work and other issues, paid family leave. In comparison, the healthcare issue, so many people have needed this for so long that sometimes one of the hurdles is getting people to understand that there are truly steps that we can take along the way to get to more coverage. In many ways, what we've seen is that there isn't going to be a single-handed magic wand sweep that's going to fix the healthcare system, you know, probably in the next month. But what we can do is work on incremental steps to get there, and we can work on many different avenues to get there. And so making sure that the public and our membership understands that they do have the power to make a difference, and that we're going to be able to be engaged, you know, in this for the long haul, but bit by bit we can probably get there to better coverage and lower costs, both for people and corporations who are paying healthcare premiums, is one of our big struggles and one of the big things that we work on.
And when you talk about taking incremental steps, what are you thinking about? Give me a couple of examples.
Well, first of all, having healthcare for all kids first would be an incremental step. Things like expanded S-CHIP. Usually there's many kids who would be left uncovered in most of the expansion models that I've seen. So we're for expanded S-CHIP, but I don't think that's going to solve the problem in and of itself. And some of these other models that we've looked at, you know, including mandating health insurance for all citizens that was proposed in California, that isn't necessarily the be-all, end-all solution to the healthcare crisis. It's probably a step along the way.
Where have you, is it possible to say yet where MomsRising.org has seen some success and where you've been stymied?
Mm-hmm. Moms Rising has had significant success in many of our areas, including paid family leave after the birth of a child, which is actually strangely related to healthcare. Our members have passed paid family leave in Washington State, and just last week, in collaboration with many partners, we passed in New Jersey. And it's significant because of over 170 countries and a Harvard McGill University study, only four didn't have some form of new paid leave for new mothers: us, Papua New Guinea, Swaziland, and Liberia. And how this connects into the healthcare crisis is actually quite important. First of all, oftentimes when people don't have paid leave, they have to quit needed jobs because childcare costs are so high, and they are making, oftentimes, particularly if they have more than one child, less than they would bring in, due to the cost of childcare, which is between $4,000 and $10,000 a year per child. And at the point where the job is quit, then the job-linked health care is lost, and we have parents and kids without health care. And so you can see the downward spiral that happens, which links back to what I was saying earlier in the interview about having a baby is a leading cause of a poverty spiral. You can see how that can happen. In addition, when there isn't paid family, there's actually a 25% increase in infant mortality, which is a serious health care issue in this country, that our infant mortality is so high compared to our rate of spending, with being the highest spending per capita on health care than any other nation. Our infant mortality rates are still very high. And so we can see that these issues that Moms Rising works on, even though paid family leave doesn't have the word health care in it, actually is a healthcare issue, because it allows people to keep their jobs while they have that time with the new infant, not lose their healthcare, and hopefully allow the infant to have a healthy start.
Kristen, as we speak in the last part of April 2008, the economy is in trouble. And if that continues, how much more difficult does it become to push your agenda, either at the state level or the federal level? Because,
you know,
some of these things cost a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a cost a lot of money, relatively speaking. You know, it costs a lot of money in terms of, compared to some of the military we spending that we do, not as much, you know. And so we have to look at what we are spending money on compared to what we need to spend money on and look at our resources. And what we see is actually an increased need for this type of policy and program in times of economic trouble. And what's really interesting about all of the policies and programs that Moms Rising works on is that when you run the economic model, yes, you may be spending money out today on a child or on a mother or on a family, but you can take any one of those issues and see that there is a greater money returned to the state and federal government because of less grade repetitions when that child grows up, fewer interactions in the future with other government entitlement programs, less interactions with the criminal justice system. And in a country where the few charitable trusts just announced that there are 1 in 100 adults in jail, that's not an insignificant factor. And we also see healthier starts. And so I think that one of the key things about these issues and looking at economics is noting that in order to build a nation that is able to compete and able to save money later, we need to invest in our families and children when they are young.
I have one last quick question, and that is, given that we're in the middle of a presidential campaign, how is it that you activate your membership? Is it all done virtual? Is it all online? Is this a good time for Moms Rising to try to expand its reach because of all the political activity at the national level?
Mm-hmm. Moms Rising is active both online and on the ground. And I'll just give you a couple of examples. We have a Moms Vote 08 program going on right now, which will heat up more as the presidential season moves on, involving mainly voter registration and reminders of people to vote, as well as visibility of the issues. And so in the last couple of weeks alone, Moms Rising members have sent in over 42,000 letters to the campaigns of the top three presidential candidates, saying that one of the first things that they would like the next president, because one of the three will likely be the next president, to do when they step foot into the Oval Office is to make sure that they address family needs.
Kristen Rao Finkbeiner, thank you so much from Moms Rising.
Thank you.